We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of someone trying to steal your crypto. Every day, thousands of hackers online are doing the same. That's why Arculus uses air-gapped cold storage technology to protect your assets. Using our keycard and wallet app to form a protective barrier, Arculus insulates you from hackers and puts control of your digital assets back in your hands. Order the first truly air-gapped crypto wallet at getarculus.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. I'm sorry we missed last week, didn't we? I was sick, and I'm still sick, but, well.
You're going to suffer through it, I understand.
Yes.
We all appreciate it. It's your kid's fault, you know that, right?
Actually, no, I can firmly blame it on Sarah. She, the other Sarah in my office here, she got sick and brought it in.
Yeah. Fire.
No. No, it's whatever. It was either I would have gotten it from her or I would have got it from the kids. You're right. So whatever. I got ahead of the game. After all, they just went to school
See, now you can give it to the kids and the kids can give it to all their classmates at school and then you're giving it to all the other parents. So it's just revenge ahead of time for whenever they mess with you this year.
Yes. There's some joy to that, really. anyway, it's been interesting. So pardon me if I'm drinking a lot of water and coughing occasionally, but we're going to get through it. So, wow, it has been so flipping busy here at Stepforth, and I know everyone's busy these days, and I'm a little behind on the news, but I do, I know that you literally are in the news all the time because you do run many newspapers.
Yes, but they rarely talk about our kind of news.
That is true.
If you want to talk about ISIS, then we can go have a conversation.
Yeah. or that unfortunate Ebola.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. This is horrifying. But anyway, yeah, let's not get into that. That's a little downer. That said, let's jump into some of the news then. So what do we want to start with first?
I guess one of the biggest things that's happened in the past week or so is Panda 4.1. I mean, it's officially announced, officially rolling out. It's quite an interesting one, too, in my mind, because this is one of the first times they've rolled out an algorithm update that didn't seem punitive, like they were punishing people for doing things. They've actually, even when they rolled it out, they said they were actually going to help people that might have been addressed or hit previously by a little over-aggressiveness in their algorithms. So this is actually seems to be a friendlier update than most, though there are still some industries that are getting hit pretty hard.
So they're you know, I mean, Mr. Skeptic, but you know, so they're bringing it out to help all those companies that didn't go under in all the time it took for them to launch this again. Smaller sites that got nailed.
Man, you are sick, aren't you?
I know, it's skeptic, but it's, or not pessimist, I suppose, but it just, I don't know. Anyway, I'm glad they're doing something good.
The other interesting thing about this one is a lot of the stuff we've heard about Panda recently has been really more about updates as opposed to new algorithmic features. So most of the time we hear about Panda, it's an update. They're running Panda, they're refreshing Panda, and it's you're going to get hit or not hit based on the current algorithms because of the refresh. This one, they actually went in and changed the algorithm semi-significantly. I think they said it's going to impact up to about 3% of search results this time around. And that impact can be positive or negative. In this case, it's going to actually, our sites have seen a number of positive impacts specifically from 4.1. So it's not nearly as bad a news as you usually think when you think, oh no, there's an algorithm update, right?
I can see if I'm looking at their losers in the U.S. chart that Search Metrics put together, and SimilarSites.com got nailed pretty hard. I actually find that really, really helpful, that site. Have you ever seen it?
No.
For example, if I'm looking for a program, but you know, or I find one and I'm like, oh, that's way too much money to use, so I'll type in on Google, similar to this program, and Similar Sites almost always shows up. Or another one of its competitors. And then they just literally have lists of different websites that are similar to the one you're looking for. And it's so helpful.
Nice. But
they're 80% down, apparently. So yeah, it won't be fine enough.
So, I mean, it doesn't affect the quality of their service, just the amount of traffic they're getting from Google.
Yeah, yeah. So their likelihood of being around any longer, yeah.
But I think the overall taking from this, though, is good quality content is still a must on your sites. No matter what niche you're in, what business you're in, what market you're serving, you've got to have good quality content. And I've said this a few times in the past year or so, it's almost like small businesses have to learn to become media companies. They have to be publishing content one way or another on an ongoing, regular basis online to really do well in search these days. You've got to almost be your own little media company.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, they note hub pages here. Hubpages.com as a loser, but unless I'm looking at this wrong, it says 30,493 was where they're at, another 163,548. I think that's good. I don't know what's going on there. Anyway,
see, you remember, I can recall a couple of years ago when they first started coming on the scene, HubPages had some amazing, great content. They would publish all the time. They did scientific studies. There was some really great stuff coming out of there. I haven't seen any good content from those guys in a year or more now.
It's true. Yeah, I haven't seen much out of them either.
So maybe that's just proof positive that, you know, the good content is going to impact you. Whether if you have it, you can't stop publishing it. You got to keep going. You got to be ongoing publication, ongoing media, ongoing content. You know, and something just for our 101 listeners that I've heard a number of times, you know, everybody's heard of Google likes fresh content. You know, this is, people have been saying that for a decade or more, right? Well, too many people, I think, misconstrue that phrase as meaning you have to update your existing content, meaning you have to go in and take a page of content and change it. That's not what that means. What that means is when Google likes fresh content, that means they want more new content on your site. They want you to be publishing new stuff on a regular basis, ongoing, not updating your existing content.
Or, yeah, that's true. Unless, of course, yeah, you'd want to do both, really. I mean, your existing content, if you've got articles that are out of date, freshen them up. I mean, that can never hurt.
Yeah, but that's for your users. That's not going to really make a big difference from your organic search ranking for that page. If you, you know, unless you're going in and completely optimizing it because it had no targeting whatsoever, and you're adding some targeting to it potentially. But just because you're freshening it up, if you have a page that's doing well in organic search, freshening it up is not going to make it do better, and not freshening is not going to make it do worse. If that makes sense.
Yes. Okay. If it's already doing well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I find it's helpful if there's something that came up in news, and it sort of brings back an old article you wrote. You can go back and freshen it up and say, you know, update, and then it gets social hits, and then it gets back up there again.
So one of the rules that we use in the news publishing, at least for our sites, and when we go out and train our editors and our journalists, one of the things we say, because that happens a lot in journalism, mm-hmm. you have a breaking story, and it starts, and you have this page of content, and you got it out there quick, you had basic information, and you want to update the story as you get more information, get more news, basically, about what's going on, whatever the story happens to be. Our rule of thumb is, if the story changes enough to change the headline, you have to do a new story. And I would say the same thing with website content. If you're going to go back and you're going to refresh something because something in the news changed, if it's changed enough to where the headline of the page should change, it should be a brand new article or brand new page on your site.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, from a news perspective, that makes a lot of sense. Because, you've got, for example, an older page that, you could always say from that older page, this is the new, there's been an update to this, go to this site, or this new article. I would make sure that that's there at the very least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to cross-link them, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, in our site, I like to do it occasionally because a lot of our stuff just sort of disappears over time. But this way we can keep things a little more timely, and especially when it comes to tutorials and such.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, another thing I've run into lately, and I've actually had a lack of lingo, which is pretty rare. talking to clients, I try and explain to them, well, this is, these are the organic rankings we're targeting, and these are the local rankings. But of course, local is organic as well, technically,
yeah.
Right?
Now it is, yep.
Yeah. So I actually find myself, they're like, well, actually, isn't that organic too? I'm getting confused. I'm trying to actually say local and then map-based rankings. Organic map-based rankings instead of local. How do you do it? I'm curious.
The way I do it, I make sure they understand that the local search results, the ones that you're calling map-based rankings, have a completely different algorithm than the standard organic, so that they're two separate things. Now, those algorithms are starting to merge, especially with Pigeon in the past couple months. They're starting to merge more than they had been in the past. But the way I try to do it is I talk about local search results, the map results, as local, because that's like the common industry standard for talking about those is local search results. When people start getting confused about that and organic, I try to phrase the organic as being geo-modified search terms. So you're having search terms with some kind of geo-modification where you're calling out a specific location in a search term, and you're getting those results in standard organic search. Versus, you'll still get the because you remember, the local search results, that one box or the seven pack or the three pack, whatever it's called nowadays, is part of universal search. That's being inserted in there just like the video search results, like the image search results, the news search results. It's being inserted into the organic as another type of search result, mm-hmm. right? So, there's the organic search results, which we all recognize are the standard organic listings. Then you have the universal search results, which are local and news and blog and video and images, all those other things that get inserted in there, shopping. So if you explain it that way, it seems to help separate the two in their mind. There's organic and there's local.
Yeah. I do find that explaining it, because I used to say the non-paid results are organic, but then, of course, that covers both local and that. And then, I don't know. I find myself getting cut in a corner occasionally, and I'm like, okay, well, this is how I explain it. And I do explain it similar to how you do it, but it still doesn't feel satisfying when the client's like, but they're both not paid. I'm like, yeah, I know. But
you kind of have to go back to that universal search results concept, where you have Google is really a collection of search engines, and that main search result page that you see often has many, many results from the different search engines inserted into it. And local search is just one of those search engines.
One of the things I'm also finding a little frustrating is when I'm talking to specific prospects and they're saying, well, the local pack doesn't even show up for me. I'm like, oh, yes, but their local is relevant within the search because it's, again, like you said, geo-modified. Of course, most of them, their eyes just sort of go, huh? When I use that word. Yeah. But Understandably.
Somebody did a study tied to real estate recently in Pigeon, and the Pigeon was really hit real estate hard, we thought, because all of the local search boxes for real estate agents disappeared, right? You could not find a local search box for real estate agents anywhere. And so one of the businesses, and I'll have to find it for you to show it to you. I'll put it on our Google Plus page. But one business that really dealt with a lot of these clients, a lot of real estate clients, did a study. And while these local search results dropped dramatically, they see almost none of them across their client base, organic search traffic has pretty much skyrocketed. So they're getting a ton more traffic without the search boxes than they were getting with the local search boxes, which is really interesting to me.
It is. Well, and it's from what I've seen, I mean, short of the address information showing up, and it's not, the content doesn't seem that much different. You type in, for this case, like, say, web design company, which is usually not showing any local box, at least in the areas I've been looking. The results are based on your locale. I mean, it's almost the same.
Well, think about it this way, too.
It's so personalized.
With those local search boxes, a lot of times the information the searcher needed was there, just like with the knowledge graph. They could click in, they could find the phone number, they could see it on the map, get to the address. That's what they were looking for. Without that, people are clicking through to the websites more than they were because they have to go there to get the information now.
Yeah, it's good for us. I wonder how long that'll last.
Not very long. unless, of course, Europe has its way.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, let's get to that in a second. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little about Europe and Google's woes.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today. Today at BruceClay.com.
InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, Panda and Penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise, content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. Plus, build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at InternetMarketingNinjas.com.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. We were just segueing into good old Google and poor Europe. Actually, it's the other way around, isn't it?
It depends on your perspective, really.
Yeah, as a publisher, I don't know. I think it's pretty ridiculous what's going on, but let's just quickly explain it. I mean, you should, since this is your department, definitely. What's going on?
Well, it's not just news. There's a lot going on in Europe where there's a collection of companies and lobbyists and countries that are really going after Google because they're a monopoly. They own such a large share of the search, even more than they do here in the U.S., I believe, that there's anti-competitive things going on there where people are saying they're sending too much traffic to their own sites and they're not giving competition enough of a play. You know, the publishing companies, the newspapers and magazines in Europe are basically saying a lot of the same things that the publishers said here before they realized, you know, that Google's actually helping them. Mm-hmm. So the publishers are saying, you guys are benefiting and profiting from our work by publishing our stories or publishing snippets of our stories and headlines, you know, and they want, you know, I know the U.S. companies for a long time were talking rumblings about we want to be paid for these. Associated Press basically banned Google for a long time and told Google you can't index our stories unless you pay us for them. And Europe's kind of doing the same thing right now. If they pass, there's a bunch of legislation and laws in the works in Europe right now to try to make Google change the way they do business. And I think they will realize if these get implemented that they made a big mistake because a lot of the traffic, a lot of things. What it will do is open up the area for another rival search engine to come in and provide results, but then they will end up facing the same issues that Google's facing right now. It's just very weird the way people are looking at Google as a competitor and an anti-business as opposed to a partner. That's somebody that can send them traffic, send them business, which is what they can be if you're done right. And I know, Ross, you hate them to death when it comes to small businesses, but they really can work well for businesses overall.
I just think it's hilarious how hardcore. Like, they're going for the link tax. They were trying to get Google to pay.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that I got shut down. I didn't want to see that kind of precedent. But, I've kind of tread a fine line between love and hate for Google at times. But when it comes to this stuff, it is, you know, Google's got to stay there. I mean, it's got a lot of benefit in search engines mm-hmm. alone, right? And, I mean, right. as a result of these publishers – a lot of people or a lot of businesses in that have any kind of a news edge or aggregation edge will not index these news publishers that have any kind of infringement issue. So they're not getting the visibility. Generally, news isn't getting out there in the way it could, you know, different opinions, whatever it could be. You know, that's important stuff. That's what people need to read. So they get a better idea of what's going on.
And this would also set a precedent for distribution of information online. Mm-hmm. So if these publishers were successful in Europe and all of a sudden Google cannot index and republish their content without paying them, the next step is if you're on Facebook or Twitter and you share a news article from one of these publishers, you have to pay the publisher too or they're going to send you a bill, you know. Why is it any different for you personally sharing it with your friends, you know, compared to Google sharing it? Because they've indexed it and you looked for it and asked for it and they gave it to you.
Yeah.
You know, where does it end?
Well, and I think now they've put together an ensemble to sue them and Google to try and get 11% of the earnings resulting from news-based views.
Yeah. Well, this is also competitors of Google's, you know, seeing this opportunity and really stoking the fire. Mm-hmm. So just in the past couple of days, TripAdvisor and Yelp have combined and created a website in Europe, basically targeting Google Plus, saying, you know, we did this research and this is research done by Facebook and Twitter and MySpace in 2012. And they have this tool that lets you compare Google's results that include Google Plus and Google's standard organic results to see which ones give you better results. They're spouting all this stuff about Google's standard organic is better search results than organic plus Google Plus. It's just this whole thing that what got me about it, though, it was very well done, actually. And it's an interesting read, and they're using Google's own words against them. But the interesting thing to me about the whole thing, it's TripAdvisor and Yelp that put this together. TripAdvisor and Yelp, who put this whole thing together, acting like a community service organization that's fighting for the rights. No, they're not. They're fighting for their business that Google's taking. And so it's very interesting.
And of course, they don't have a foothold here in the U.S. or they're in the U.S. or Canada, because of course we've got all these different rules. But in Europe, they're getting their ass. Well, Google's getting their ass handed to them often.
Yeah. Well, it started with the right to be forgotten, right? Mm-hmm. And they realize then companies and businesses realized, hey, the legal action can be taken and won against Google, and so they went after him.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens next.
Yeah, it'll be it's fun. It's fun to watch, though. It's scary at the same time.
So one of the things you published here, and it piques my interest, of course, because I haven't actually read about this yet. Keywords are dead. What's up with this?
Well, this isn't necessarily something that's out there published. This is something that I've read a couple of different articles, a couple of different things, and just my general thought processes over the past couple of years as our industry evolves, that the ideas of keywords to me is dead. The idea of using a keyword is pretty much gone the way of link building. It's dead. So, and one of the things that really struck me today, because I was reading, you remember we talked a couple weeks ago about that the search metrics put out that new algorithm ranking features.
Breakdown of the algorithm.
So there was an interesting analysis of that done recently. I read it, I think, on Marketing Land, where they were talking about how keywords themselves are not nearly as important anymore. And they were using the information from this. And the one thing that really caught my eye that I hadn't read before, and it makes a lot of sense to me, is tied specifically to Hummingbird, right? So the Hummingbird update, we've talked about it a few times, and it really was designed to help Google understand the search query better. It was really about understanding what was really being asked. It's tied to mobile. It's tied to potentially to voice search. And I thought, you know, it really didn't impact standard search that much. It's just more about understanding a search query, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this analysis came out. It was very interesting. So pre-Hummingbird, a lot of the keyword sets that we use had very similar meanings. So like variations on a keyword, like, great ice cream sundae recipes. And then the best recipe for ice cream sundae. Those are very similar phrases. They mean the same thing. But when you search for those two phrases in organic search, you know, 9 out of 10 results would be different because those phrases were so different, right? This was pre-Hummingbird. Now, if you do that same type of search phrase, only 2 out of 10 results are different. So what's happening is, because of Hummingbird, diversity in search results tied to similar phrasing and similar keywords is dramatically been reduced, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of having individual search phrases for variations on search phrases, and we've seen this happening gradually time over time for years now, but I think it's really hit home that individual keyword phrases to me are not nearly as important anymore as topics. What is this page about from a topic standpoint? And we're actually going back to the old days in a way, to where you could have a page targeted for quote unquote 7 or 8 different related key term phrases, right? Used to be able to do that. And then we moved away to no, you need more specific targeting per page because there's so much content and each page should be highly targeted, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're moving back to a phrase where a page should be about a topic that covers a number of key phrases that are around that subject instead of individual keywords.
Yeah, in a sense, if you've got the right signals pointing to your page showing credibility, it's almost easier to get that visibility now, because it's about the meaning of the page, semantic meaning. It's and then all the keywords that are related to that, there's a potential of getting a ranking for. There's a certain weight to what keywords are probably used, but. Yeah.
And this goes back, there's been articles for years now, and I've read them, I've wrote them, I've had people that I've mentored write these articles, that keyword rankings are not a good metric. You should not be, everybody that's professional SEO should understand that keyword rankings is not the proper metric to gauge results, right? Keyword rankings are a KPI, it's a performance indicator, and you should potentially track them, but that's not your goal. Your goal is not to get a better search result, a better ranking. Your goal is to drive business, to drive traffic, to get more products sold, to get more leads. Those are your goals. Keyword rankings are just a performance indicator towards meeting those goals. Mm-hmm. So for me, this just follows along with that. If you're not even talking about keywords when it comes to SEO, and you're talking about topics, and you're talking about areas of focus and business you know, opportunities and products, you know, not keywords. And you're talking more about driving traffic and, you know, making conversions. You're way ahead of the game in my mind. Get rid of the idea of keywords.
Yeah, it's a constant battle, I find. Everyone is still attached to the keyword game. And I'm clear with everyone that it's about, like, every client, every prospect, that it's about making you more money. But, and you know, and we, that's why we like to be held to analytics, Google Analytics, in terms of metrics. But when it comes right down to it, they're not happy until they see those results in a ranking. And it's got to change. But I don't know how it's almost going to have to be impossible to make a ranking or get a ranking report before they'll give up.
No, and I understand. And for a lot of SEOs that need business on a regular basis, I'm very lucky. To the point, I can look at it because I do in-house SEO and I do agency style stuff, so I have the luxury to look at it from the in-house side and say I don't really have to worry about rankings. My goals are traffic and page views and visitors. Right, I understand that small businesses want to look at a keyword and show up. There's a vanity aspect to keyword rankings that is hard to get past. It really is, and I know that a lot of SEOs out there can't afford to say, no, I'm not going to work with you if you insist on doing keywords because I want to drive traffic. You can't do that. But I think as an industry, we really kind of start talking about, you know, we have to turn the conversation away from that as an industry, because unless we do and the conversations we have stop focusing on keywords, whether we be talking about link building, whether we're talking about content targeting, no matter what, you know, reporting, rankings, all that stuff, it's got to go away at some point. It really does.
Well said. Thanks for doing so much talking. It's helping my old throat here, so I appreciate that. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll just get in a couple other points before we...
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Before you painstakingly create another label or drag yourself to the post office, set a course to ShipStation, your key to e-commerce shipping nirvana. Save time by easily importing orders from wherever you sell, like Amazon, eBay, and over 40 others. Save money with discounted USPS rates and a free USPS account. Automate manual tasks through bulk label and invoice printing, custom shipping rules, and much more. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/WebmasterRadio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is AuthorityLabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services, ppcprofessionals.com.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and the WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content
hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing,
thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But you must act fast. Email sales@webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So one of the things that has been interesting lately is this bit on Google Answer Boxes, and I wonder if I could get you to jump into that too while I drink some water here.
Well, so everybody's familiar with the knowledge graph and answer boxes, I hope. And if you're not, of course, knowledge graph is when information shows up on the side or the top of the screen giving you the information about a search query. My favorite example is if you search for Carlos Santana, over on the right side, there's a whole big thing about Carlos Santana. It has his picture, a little bit of biography, some links to some of his music. That's the knowledge graph. The answer box, which is another thing that's happening more and more frequently now in Google, is where if you type a question in who was the 22nd president of the United States, instead of giving you a list of pages that has links to pages with the answer to that question, which they still do, the very top, they give you the answer to the question, right? So they're actually providing you the answer right then and there. And it's happening more and more. Actually, there's a tool that Moz has. What's it called? Mozcast, if you're familiar with this. Mozcast actually tracks some of the features. And when we talk about features, we're talking things like when you look at a search result page, there's features of it. One of them would be AdWords or images or the news box, things we kind of talked about earlier today, local search. That's a feature. One of the features it tracks is knowledge graph and answer boxes, right? How many times does an answer box show up in a search query? Well, they've recently shown, literally in the past week, the number of times the answer boxes show up in a search query increased from just about 2.25% of the time to 3.5% of the time, right? So that's a 60% jump in the amount of times these answers are showing up in search results. And so this is just a clear indicator, you know, in my mind, in a lot of people's mind, that these answers are becoming more and more prevalent in Google. And what that means for us is they're sending less traffic out for people looking for these kind of the questions that these answers are for.
And from an ethical perspective, one of the things I've been reading about is and I kind of like getting into the philosophy at all, but is if Google is providing the answers, are they providing all aspects of answers, all sides of the truth, quote unquote truth? And they're going to have to be very careful there. There's tons of people watching this just to make sure they don't stumble, because that is very dangerous territory.
Well, the other ethical issue that a lot of people are talking about related to this is where are they getting the answers? Mm-hmm. So these answers are actually coming from pages on the internet that other people have created the content. And in many cases, underneath the answer, they actually link to the source where they got the answer, right? Mm-hmm. So the source is complaining. It's like, look, that's traffic you could have sent to my site, where I could have had a page view, sold more advertising, made more money, but they didn't come to my site because you took my answer and published it instead of sending them to my publication of my answer. So there's an ethical debate there, as well as they don't, that the knowledge that they're publishing isn't necessarily theirs.
Just thinking, I wonder if anyone's asked, I wonder if that link passes PageRank.
I guarantee people have checked
that. Oh, dear.
But even if it has a nofollow, we know those don't work most of the time anyway, right?
True enough.
but look at it this way, though. Whether a page passes page rank or not, if they selected your answer, because if you have the answer for who was the 22nd president of the United States and they publish your answer, they link to you, that means they consider you the most authoritative page on that question, right? Mm-hmm. So they already have you as an extremely authoritative site tied to that question because they're using your answer. But there's where the ethical dilemma is. Why aren't they sending you the traffic? You know, they claim that they're doing it to make it easier for their users to get the information they need without having to go through another click. But at the same time, you know, if that's your answer, are you upset that they didn't send you the traffic, or are you happy that they think you're an authoritative site and they're stealing your answer? It's a very weird situation.
Yeah, and I wonder, has anyone done any research to see whether or not people or businesses that are chosen or whatever, websites that are chosen in the knowledge graph for the answer have better rankings overall?
Well, for knowledge graph, I think there's a difference between knowledge graph and answers. They're tied together.
But you'd think that the credibility required to become a major contributor to the knowledge graph would rub off.
We know that Wikipedia was a major contributor for a long time.
Forever.
And we know that they rank for every freaking search term on the planet. So with that correlation,
Yeah, well, it's true. I guess there's been enough studies on that.
Yeah.
On another note, and I love this because it's becoming an ongoing joke, at least to me. Every episode we've talked about someone saying that Google Penguin refresh may coming soon. Search Engine Land just posted, and it's from Google's Gary Ilz. I don't know how to say his name.
So for the geeks in the audience, when he said that, my first inclination was to say Gary Gygax. So that the geeks will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sorry, I don't even know that. I guess I'm not there.
Gary Gygax was the guy who invented Dungeons and Dragons.
Ah, no, that's nerds, my friend.
No, geeks know that too.
I'm a geek. I don't know that one.
look up the Venn diagram for geeks, nerds, and dweebs.
Oh dear. Okay, I'll try. anyways, apparently at Search Marketing Expo East, Gary from Google, I'll just say that instead of his last name, says that Penguin is not just a refresh, Penguin 3 that is, but it's a full rewrite of the algorithm, and that, quote unquote, people will be happier about it. We'll see.
Which people?
Yeah, exactly. And, well, it may or may not come out soon because, of course, they're still testing it. If they run into any glitches, then it'll once again be delayed. But at least it's on the horizon. Yay, we get to say it again.
If they have any brains, they will keep putting it off, keep saying there's glitches, whether there are or not, until after the first of the year.
Yeah. Oh, dear. It's getting pretty late in the year, isn't it?
Yep.
But you know what? There's so many people that got hit that I kind of hope they do launch it, just because I feel so badly for those companies that have worked so hard, spent so much money to try and get back in, and have just been sitting.
Yeah,
it's not fair. So
That's true too. At least maybe they could run a refresh before they launch the algorithm update to help those companies, and then launch the update after the first of the year.
There you go. There you go. Hey, and to anyone out there who is connected to our Stepworth profile, actually, I'll put this on our community profile for SEO 101 as well. But I did a one-hour webinar last week, or the week before, on strategy and things to get you where you need to be in rankings without, or not rankings, exactly the opposite, actually, where you need to get to without focusing on rankings, you know, get the business. So I'll post a link to it. I think it turned out well, and I've certainly loaded it with lots of tips. So
See, keywords are dead. You didn't even know it. You're already doing webinars on it.
Hey, I didn't say I didn't know it. I just want your opinion on it. Don't threaten my ego.
It's easy to do when you're sick, though.
It is. It really is. Well, thank you, sir. You did wonderful covering for me there. I appreciate it. And with that said, I hope everyone has a wonderful week. Remember to tune in next week on SEO 101 for God knows what. There's so much stuff going on. It'll probably hopefully be above the Penguin refresh, depending which way you're looking at it. Yeah. But our future episodes air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern every Thursday on webmasterradio.fm. We may be changing the day. We'll get back to you on that. But in the meantime, have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Radio and Podcast Network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs. On demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program
are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
You should be saving for the future, but savings accounts suck, and investing can be scary. We combine the ease of savings with the real returns of investing. We call it Savevesting, and it's only available in our new app, Stairs. Stairs offers 4 to 6% returns, no fees, and you can withdraw anytime. Do your future a favor. Visit StairsApp.com today.